thanks for tuning in to the All Things Melanin podcast.
Be sure to subscribe, like this week's episode, and share with a friend.
Now let's get into this week's episode.
Hi, I'm Shelby.
And I'm Erica.
And welcome to the All Things Melanin podcast, where your certified hype women are getting you through the week.
Be sure to subscribe so you'll never miss an update.
Erica!
Shelby!
What's good? What's popping? What's happening? How you feeling?
Girl, I feel like an adult. I was talking to my mom the other day, and I was like, you know what? It's kind of scary that, like, I'm the adult. Like, we're the adults now. Like, our generation is the adults. And I just don't feel like we as serious. And, like, I just miss, like, when I all I had to do was, like, my spelling words. Like, I'm done with being an adult. What about you? How you feel?
First of all, I agree. Because, first of all, I feel like, as an adult, I'm so unserious. Like, I can't even take myself serious. So, I needed a more adult. Because I was talking about Mama one day, girl. I was like, Mama, I need an adult. She was like, you are an adult. I was like, I need a more adult. And she was like, girl. But I'm doing really good, friend. I recently just started my new job. And that's been really good so far. Really interesting. I've been working out consistently. Your girl is tired. Girl, tell me why. I think I'm one of the 6 a.m. girlies now, where I get up, I meditate and I pray, and I work out, and then I go to work. Is that not like an adult thing to do?
That is.
But you know, life is good. Life is great. I'm good. I'm chilling. I'm living my best life. God love me. My friends love me. My mama love me. Like, life is good in my future voice.
Well, that is so good, friend. So what question you got for me? I know you got one.
I do. But before I say the question of the day, I just want to say that this episode that you're listening to right now is the last episode of the season. I feel like me and Erica will record and then we'll just go ghost. But we ain't gonna do that this time. We telling you that this is the last episode of the season until we record again. So you have been warned. Okay, now back to your regularly scheduled podcast. The question of the day is, would you rather live without music or social media, and why?
I would definitely not be able to live without music. Like, so basically, I would rather live without social media, because music just, it has always been like a huge part of my life ever since I was little, like dance and playing instruments, being in the band. Music is like nostalgia for me. Like, I love 90s music, so like when I put that on, it just brings me back. I start my days off with like gospel music. I love going to concerts. I love singing karaoke. So yeah, social media can go. Like, I don't have to, I'm on a hiatus right now. Like, I don't ever have to be on social media like that. So yeah, but I don't think I could ever go on a hiatus with listening to music. What about you?
Yeah, I agree with you, friend. I think that I cannot live without music because, honestly, I listen to music so much throughout my day. If I'm on a road trip, I'm listening to music. When I wake up in the morning, I got my gospel playlist going. In the middle of the day, I got my Throw That Ass in a Circle music playing. I may go back to gospel. I may go to 90s R&B. I may go to pop. I feel like music is just a really good way to, like, calm my spirit, but also just to like set the tone and the mood of my day. I feel like music can influence your mood. Music can influence your day. Like I said, I start my day off with my gospel playlist, and when I tell you, it gets me right every single time. So I would rather live without social media than music, because I don't know, music just makes me happy. So that's why.
That's how I feel too. So, let's see if dating and relationships make you happy. So, let's go ahead and talk about that in our next segment. So, the question is, what are the biggest red flags on a first date? And have you personally experienced red flags on a first date? So, before you answer, Shelby, I'm going to give you a few replies that are from social media. So some examples of red flags on a first date is talking about your ex too much or in a negative way, being rude to the waitress or waiter, not having a real conversation or being able to hold an actual conversation in person doesn't open doors. The need to keep stepping away to take a call, asking the woman to leave the tip and talking nonstop about an ex, not actively listening, smoking, pocket watching, heavy drinker, drug use, rude, can't put the phone down, bad hygiene, and can't hold a combo. So, Shelby, what are the biggest red flags on a first date?
Okay, I'm gonna add some to them, okay? Here we go. I got a little list. So, makes things too sexual too quick, and that's the only way that you can hold their conversation. That's a big one, because niggas act like they can't function without sex. But anyway, whatever. Sorry. Doesn't make sure that you get home quickly. Like, if a man don't be like, text me when you get home, and then check and to confirm that you got home, baby, run. That's a baby. He don't even know basic etiquette. Get out of there. Flaming red flag. A man that doesn't walk you to your car and make sure that you get in the car, a man that pulls off, like when y'all go on the first day and he walk you to your car, if that man pull off before you, baby, lose his number. Because he not even being responsible and watching over you. He's a child. Get out of there. Run as fast as you can. Do not look back. You have been warned. A man that lacks eye contact, like if he can't look you in the eye and like pay attention to you and seem genuinely interested. And a man that doesn't pick up the bill on the date that he asked you on. Let me tell y'all something. Quick story that y'all done asked for. Like, I don't ask men on first dates because I'm not picking up the bill. I'm just sorry. But like, if you ask me on a date, I tell men all the time, like, when I go on a date, like, I let the man pick what he wants to do. I let the man pick where he wants to go. Because this is your footing the bill. And it's not really the cost of the day. It's the intention and if we have a good time. Like, I need to know, can you plan? Can you take initiative? Are you a stand-up person? And I have experienced a few of these. So, I've experienced... The main one I feel like I experienced is, like, men not being able to hold a conversation, period. In person, on the phone, texting, FaceTime, and Skyping. Whatever the case may be. And I think a lot of times it's because like women will over talk in the conversations and they will lead the conversations and they will tell just any and everything. I was talking to my homeboy one day and he was like, Shelby, when you're on a date, like be quiet. He was like, I'm not saying don't talk because anybody that knows me, baby, I will talk you under a bus if you really know me. And Erica's laughing because she know I will. But he was like, Shelby, like, don't talk as much because a man will tell you so much more. And so I found that a lot of people don't really know how to hold a conversation. They don't even know what questions to ask you. They don't even know how to engage you. Because what we're not going to do, what you're not going to do is ask me what my favorite color is to death. And you're not going to, what are you doing me to death? I'm working. I'm paying bills. I'm making a living. If you're not trying to contribute to that, get off my phone. Sorry. I've experienced that. Not opening doors, that's a really big one for me now, especially because, like, I just feel like that's the least that you can do. You're supposed to open doors. I feel like a lot of times men think, oh, women are supposed to cook and clean and put it down. You're supposed to open car doors. You're supposed to check and make sure that I got home. You're supposed to do these things. Not opening car doors. I think that's a red flag because, like, that's free. Opening the door, it's free. And I think, like, it can get you kudos. Being on your phone too much when you're with me. So, Erica knows that this is one of my biggest pet peeves. Like, if you are just constantly on your phone with when we're together. And that's with friends, too. Like, usually when I'm with my friends, like, if something of a message comes in, I'll check it. But I literally will put my phone down in a way and just, like, talk to my friends. So, if my friends do that, like, I expect a man to do that. Also, I've experienced having a man that did not pay for the date that he asked me on. So I paid for it, and that man never heard from me again. In fact, I don't think I ever told you this story, friend, but this was when I was in college, in undergrad. This man tried to dine and dash. And I was like, absolutely not. We were at Chili's. Girl, anyway, I love Chili's. We were at Chili's. I picked up the bill, and then I never called that man back. Ever again after I had to drop him off. But I think these are all big red flags, and I think a lot of times they'll appear on the first date or they'll appear on the first few dates. And I think that we have to, I've learned that on the first date, like, this is really just like, you know how, like, when you get, like, when you buy something and you get, like, a 30-day trial or a 60-day trial or a 90-day trial, like, the first few dates, particularly, like, the first date is really just a preview for me. Because I'm trying to see, like, I'm observing, like, all of these things, and I know that, like, nobody's gonna be perfect on a first date or the first few dates because you're getting to know each other, you're scared, you know, you gotta warm up a little bit. But I feel like all of the things that we have listed are huge red flags, and like they're flaming red flags, like scarlet red flags, like they're telling you to get out, run, do not look back, do not collect anything, do not pass go, get up out of there. But I just rambled, but I think all of these are red flags. Unfortunately, I have experienced them. But now, when I tell you now, when I go on a date, when I talk to people, like, you really got to make sure you come correct. Because it's real strict around here, okay? It's real strict around here. And if you can't, like, rise up to meet my standards and be a decent human being and be a good first date, please don't slide in my DMs. Please don't ask your friend to put you down with me. Please don't waste my time. Because the next man that wastes my time is really going to have to take it up with Jesus. Because that's the only person that's going to be able to save him. Because I don't have the time. But I'm just saying, what about you, friend? Have you experienced any of these red flags? Do you have any additional red flags? What do you think?
Sure. Red must be my favorite color. Because, like, first of all, I feel like both of us can write a book about red flags and sell it on Amazon. Okay, so... First of all, let me just say, I do agree with all of your red flags. I agree with all the examples from social media. One thing that I didn't hear was, I like, if we're like walking outside, walking downtown, it's real cute or whatever, and you got me walking on the street side, no. And I actually went on a date with someone and we were downtown and I kind of moved on the inside and he was like, oh, he was like picking with me, like, oh, you want me to get hit by a car first? I said, actually, that's kind of how it goes. And so he was like, why I gotta get hit first? So we went all in this conversation and I was like, well, just think about it. If you were walking downtown with your mom, wouldn't you want her to be on the inside? And he was like, well, nobody's my mama. And just started going. I said, oh, red flag. Cause I didn't say I was my mama. Like the one lady. Okay. So it was a red flag. And then especially, I don't like being out on a first date and the man got a wandering eye. Like, why is you not locked in with me? I'm all looking like a snack. Why is you looking at other snacks? Like, be locked in with me, in tune with the conversation and what we're talking about. And I especially agree with the one where it said talking too much about your ex. I have experienced that before and I had to cut that off. Because if you're not over Keisha, I need you to leave me alone. Like, don't period. And then I cannot stand when you talk about yourself the whole entire time and don't ask me about nothing going on in my life, you're not showing interest and actually really getting to know me. So those would be like my major ones that haven't already been mentioned. So I'll give you some examples of some experiences I've had with the color red. I was on a date with this guy. I will not put his name out there, which I should, but I won't. And we were just chilling on this rooftop. It was a really cute vibe downtown. And he just gonna burst out with, you know, I would have sex with you. And I'm like, sir, we weren't even talking about that. So back to what one of your red flags, Shelby, was like just overly sexual with the conversation. So I said, okay, I know why we're here and you ain't getting that. So sir, no. But then he proceeded to say, like, you know, he said that he had a child and that he wouldn't allow anybody over his house because his daughter lived there. So you would think, you know, okay, well, that makes sense if it's an early relationship and you don't really, you know, want everybody around your kid. Like, I get that. But then he proceeds to say, yeah, so I would just be able to come over to your house and we get a hotel. Sir, that sounds like you married. And I mean, I don't know if he was or wasn't, but I never went out on another date with him because I was like, that don't even sound right. So, and then let's see. Another example was I went out with a guy. He was actually really, really cool. I loved his personality. And our first date was at, I think it was Boomer Jack's restaurant. And so he disclosed that he had 3 kids by 2 women. And I didn't hear nothing else he said after that. Because I just, I couldn't get past it. So that was a red flag for me. And then since we were talking about music earlier, friend, like at the beginning of the show, this is petty, but I feel like this is a red flag for me. So went out on a date with this guy. It actually wasn't our very first date. It was like one of our first few dates. And we were riding in his car, right? And his radio was off. I mean, smooth off. And so I was thinking, you know, maybe, you know, he just has it off so we could talk on our way to wherever we're going. And so I mentioned it. I was like, so what do you like to listen to? And he was like, oh, I don't ever listen to anything when I'm in the car. So I was like, you just ride in silence? He was like, yeah, or I listen to audiobooks. And I'm like, okay. And I was like, well, what are your audiobooks about? He's like, oh, it's about finance. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. You know, you're interested in something. I get it. But this man knew nothing about music. So let me give an example. We got to where we were going and they had an elevator, right? Okay. So when we get on the elevator, like, lady goes, going down. Like, so I started singing, I'm going down, like, trying to be funny or whatever. And so I said, do you know who sings that? He was like, Aretha Franklin. Sir, no. I said, you know what? This is a red flag because you don't even know Mary J. Blige. Sir, if you don't know Mary J. Blige, this ain't gonna work. So I said, red flag. No, I'm playing. That's not a real red flag. But I just felt like we didn't have nothing in common with music. So I think sometimes red flags can be things that, you know, like if something that you really care about, something that you're really into, if they know nothing about it, they don't care, they're not showing no interest, that can also kind of be, you know, a little bit of a red flag. So anyway, those would be my experiences. I have more, but I'm not gonna waste the whole show talking about it. But I really feel like red flags on the first date, they always gonna show up if you pay attention. Mm-hmm. You cannot like overlook the major red flags because they're always going to show up the next time. And the more you look over, the more you're going to look over and the more you're going to look over as the time goes by. So those are my
red flags. And I think another thing you basically said, I think red flags are a way of telling you that that's not your person. And I think that so many times like people overlook red flags because like they just don't want to be by themselves or they don't want to be lonely or they want to have a person or they feel like they're getting left behind. But like the thing about it is if you overlook red flags, like what are you putting up with to have a man or to have a woman or to have a partner? Because there are people that have a partner and they're miserable. They're miserable. And so I think that the important lesson that I hope that you take away is that like when you go on a first date, like instead of trying to make somebody the one, like you need to be seeing like how this person is, like what is their character, how are they acting, like what are they saying, what are they talking about, what is their body language, like looking at all of those things so that you can make an informed decision. Because I feel like people try to make you feel bad about going on dates or telling people that they're not for you afterwards. No, the point of dating is getting to know someone to decide if y'all are on the same page. And if you're not on the same page, you bid that man goodbye and you try it again until you get it right. And that's on period.
Sam. Yes, I totally agree. It's hard out here, y'all. But one thing I told myself is, Erica, don't look past the red, like the major ones, the ones that would affect the relationship down the road. All right, so let's keep it moving to our journey segment. So this is when Shelby and I will talk about our journey to building offense development. So Shelby, the topic is, so we know that this journey has definitely not been easy, but it has been rewarding. So we have to remind ourselves to always celebrate the small wins along the way, along the journey, right? So what are some of the most rewarding moments for you in this journey to building all things known?
Let's see. You know I got a list because I'm a list type of girl. So some things that are rewarding or a win, us making it to 5 years as a brand. And I know that's kind of big, but looking back on when we first started, I couldn't really see us at 5 years, you know? So just to know that we made it 5 years and we've been podcasting for 4 with the way that life has been lifing from both of us, as well as being able to maintain our friendship, that's a win. That's a win for me. I think that's something we should celebrate. I think definitely building a community of empowerment and of encouragement, the way that we have, I'm really proud that we built a brand that it's not like other brands, but a brand that celebrates the wins, but we also celebrate the losses. And I think that being able to be very open, honest, and transparent on our journey and our community and having people resonate with that and share that and saying that they can relate or they love that, that's a win for me. Two more things. The next one, the one that I think is my favorite is just seeing the reviews that people leave for us, for our podcast. Just like even when I'm having a bad day or like sometimes, you know, when me and Erica go to record and I ain't got it in me, like going back and reading those reviews are such a really big pick me up for me. And it really makes me know that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing and that we're operating in our gifts. So I definitely think the biggest one for me is just seeing the way people respond to this podcast, to Erica's and our stories, to our experiences, the way that we're able to relate and to connect and to empower and inspire through this podcast. Because just thinking about, I'm going on a tangent again, sorry, but just thinking back to when Erica and I had the idea to start this podcast, newsflash, we didn't even know how to do a podcast. We didn't know what the podcast was going to look like. We didn't know what we were going to talk about. We didn't know how to mix it. We didn't know what the sections were going to be, but we knew and we felt like we were supposed to do that. And so to see us put out podcast after podcast after podcast and to get better and to be consistent and to be dedicated, but also to see the reaction to it. For me, I think that has been one of the most rewarding moments for me, and it continues to be one of the best moments for me. What about you, Fran?
Yes, obviously I would agree with all of those rewarding moments. So the only thing I would add is like us being able to pay it forward. So what I mean by that is like being able to share our knowledge. And I feel like in a way we are paying it forward by sharing what we've learned as we built this thing brick by brick. And like we've been sharing our knowledge, our resources. For example, we've been presenters at a podcast festival. Shout out to Afros and Audio. Like we were able to talk about content creation and when it comes to podcasting. And also we presented at the Creatress Summit. So we were able to share about content development, and also, of course, to piggyback on what you said about our listeners and our reviews and things like that, just that always is so rewarding to hear the feedback that we're getting from our Melanin fam. And then just being able to highlight other Black entrepreneurs and creatives on our journey through our podcast segments or go-getter series that we've done before, and then being able to provide resources. So just the rewarding moment in that is just being able to create that space and opportunity for others. And I think that that's what we've always maintained. We started this even before we had a podcast, is making sure that we highlight other people, because it's not just about us. And we want to make sure that other people have the space and opportunity that we don't always get, you know, on our journey to building this thing. So that's the only thing I would add to that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And one thing that I was going to add, speaking of podcast reviews, if you listen to this podcast and you have not left us a review wherever you listen, whether that's Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, wherever you listen to our podcast, if you could go and leave us a review, that's going to allow more people to find us, and for us to continue to inspire and motivate additional people, and we would really appreciate it.
Yes, don't do that. Okay, we'll keep it moving to our mentor moment segment. So this is when Shelby and I will read a listener's letter, and then we're going to give our advice on it. So the letter reads, "Hi, Shelby and Erica. I love listening to your podcast. You both give such good advice. Thanks. I'm wondering if you can help me. I have so much going on in my life that I feel like I'm constantly struggling to find time for myself. I am married and have two beautiful kids and work a full-time job. I'm starting to feel burnt out a lot. even on nights that I get to sleep in earlier than normal, I wake up exhausted. So I need to find a better way. Do you have any advice on how to make adjustments so that I'm not always tired and burnt out?
That's a really good question, actually. So I'm gonna go ahead and put my disclaimer out there. I am not married, so please take this advice with a grain of salt, okay? But first and foremost, I just want to point out, but you already knew this, probably know this, is that like it's so important to pour into yourself and to take care of yourself, because you can't be anything to everybody if you're nothing to yourself and you don't have anything else to give. And it sounds like you don't really have anything else to give. So I would encourage you to try to find little ways to pour into yourself and to have some quiet time. But when I was reading this listener letter, this is what I came up with. This is what I thought. So you're married, you have a beautiful family. So I'm curious as to know, like, how is your partner supporting you? Like, is he picking up all the slack? Like, are you feeling the need to take on all this responsibility by yourself? Because if you are, I think that this is an area of opportunity for you and your husband. So what I would say is I would talk to your husband and I would tell him how you're feeling burnt out, and I would get together with him and see what his schedule looks like, see what your schedule looks like, but also write down all the things that need to be done every single day and every week. Like, do like a planning session on Sunday or Saturday morning or even Monday, like plan for the week. And I would say, see how you can split up the responsibilities in a way that everything does not sit on your shoulders. I think that so many times women try to be superwoman and they try to be all things to everyone and to do everything, but we're living in a day and time where that's just not possible. And I feel like when it was possible, that's when women were stay-at-home moms, and that's still a lot, like stay-at-home moms back in the day. And I think I'm not a mom, but I feel like being a stay-at-home mom is probably one of the hardest jobs in the world. But then you add on working and having other responsibilities, like, it's just too much. So if I were you, I would get together with your husband and I would set aside a day every week to just go over the week and plan and split up responsibilities. Who's going to pick up the children? Who's going to be responsible for dinner? Who's going to do the nighttime routine? Who's going to do the morning routine? Who's going to drop them off from school? Who's going to pick them up? Who is going to do homework? Who is going to cook? Who is going to clean? Who is going to do, when I tell you whatever responsibility, whatever needs to be done, write it down. And then based on all the things that need to be done, split it up between you and your husband so everything is not on you. So that can take some of the load off you. And you'll still probably be really busy. But I feel like if you're able to offload some of that, then that's going to take some of that burnout off of you. What do you think, friend?
I think that is great advice. I think the only thing that I would add to that is, because I'm thinking about myself when I'm talking, is don't overdo it. And what I mean by that is, like, sometimes if you're like me, you'll feel guilty if you don't get everything done in one day, or you don't get everything that you said you were going to do in one day. So like me, for example, I will make a 20 item to-do list and either procrastinate on it or try to do everything in one time. And so that could be exhausting on both ends. So I would say, along with obviously divvying up the responsibilities with your partner, I would say break up your daily routine into like shorter tasks, like if you can, because a lot of times you try to take on way more, like, girl, you're not getting all that done today. And have a cutoff point. I think that, you know, we always talk about, oh, self-care, but self-care just don't show up. Like, you have to be intentional about that. So make sure part of self-care could be having a cutoff point. And also maybe, like, replace one of those tasks with something that you enjoy doing. It could be something so simple or just a small amount of time in the day, like taking a walk, reading a book for 45 minutes, journaling for 30 minutes, like listening to your favorite song while you're cooking or something. I mean, find a lot of, when you spend a lot of time doing things that are just draining you, you get burnout. So, because you're not doing enough of like what actually brings some joy to your life. So we always talk about, like I said, self-care, which is obviously very important, but we need to be intentional about it. And then I want to point out that it's okay to kind of hit pause if you can on like just going and going and going and going and going. Just obviously prioritize what actually absolutely needs to be done, but take some time to check in with yourself. And if you're tired, just try to rest or be mindful like, hey, I'm tired, because let me tell you something. If you don't rest, if you don't stop, your body is going to make you do that. So it's okay to rest. Just don't quit, but rest. And just know that like self-care is just like giving yourself that permission to pause. And so if you do have the help around you, utilize that because you do owe yourself that. So that's what I would add. Yay. So if you guys out there have a question that you want us to answer, send us an email to allthingsmelanintv@gmail.com or slide in our DMs on IG at allthingsmelanin__. So today we're going to leave you with words of encouragement coming from Proverbs 19:21. This is the NIV version for All My Saints. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So Shelby, what does this Bible verse mean to you?
Yeah, so when I think about this, I think about how, like, in general, like, in life, we make all these plans for how we want our life to go and how we want our life to be and how we want it to turn out. But if you lived any type of life, and if life has been lifing, like it has been for me, you'll quickly realize that, like, you can plan all you want, but like ultimately God decides, and whatever God's plan is for your life and whatever he wants to come and whatever his will is going to prevail. So whatever God's purpose for your life is, it's going to happen. It's going to prevail. And I think what I've had to learn is that it's okay to loosely plan and to dream and to manifest and to want things, but we can't hold on to those things so tightly and be so stuck in our mind that we're not open and willing and ready to receive the plan that God has for us. And I've learned the sooner that I realize that God's way is the only way, the better off that I've been. And so, like I said, I would just encourage you to be open to receive the plan that God has for your life. Because newsflash, whether you're open or not, it's going to happen. So you might as well be in a good mental and emotional state to receive that. And like you said, and like we've said this before, like God is not surprised by the things that we pray and ask for. But I think that sometimes we don't stop and think about what God wants for us or what God has planned for us, because God can ultimately see in the future. He can see what we're going to have. He can see what's going to happen. He can see the plan that he has, because he created us in his image. Our life was already planned out before we were born. He already knew all of it. And I just think that this Bible verse is a reminder to get on the bandwagon with God and just really be open to receive the plan that he has for us. Because a lot of times it's better than anything that we can ever imagine. We just have to open our hearts and follow God like he wants us to.
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. And it makes me think about, like, Erica, you are not in control, girl. Like, because I'm definitely the person who has to have a plan, a purpose for doing something. I plan out my week. I plan out my day ahead. I have a checklist, a task list. You know, I got to check off my to-do list throughout the day. I have 2023 goal plans and all that. And it's okay to have a plan, but does it align with God's plan, right, and purpose? And that's where it gets tricky, because, like, for me, like, we don't always know his plan or purpose for our lives and the season that we're in. And so this verse just reminds me that God's plan is obviously better than my plan. That definitely does not mean his plan is easier. So when I write out my plans and I pray over them, and, you know, I literally say, like, your will be done. That just means that I'm giving it over to him. Because even though it may be like a desire in my heart, the plan in which I, you know, get there is up to God. Like, because he directs our paths, I always have to remember, like, God is not just now figuring it out. He's not like, oh, okay, girl, that's what you want to do. Okay, let me go figure it out. Like, he knows the end from the beginning. And so really my life plan has already been established. It's like, it's already been done. I just have to walk it out. And, it can be so frustrating, if I can be honest, because it's like, when you don't know if you're on the right path, because sometimes you feel like God is silent in certain seasons. So when I'm in that season now, but I feel like I remember this metaphor that I heard about when God is like silent on your journey. You can think of God like being a GPS. So when you are putting your navigation, the destination, Siri is not going to tell you to turn left till it's time to turn left. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of like how God works too, is like he will tell you when to turn, when it's time to turn. So if he's silent, to me, that just means continue on your path and do what you know to do. So that's what I would say. So let's go ahead and pray. If you bow your head, close your eyes, but if you drive in, sway with it, do not close your eyes, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer to, first of all, just thank you for your guidance, your covering, your protection. We thank you that you are all-knowing and that you have a great purpose for each of our lives. And may we surrender our will to your will for our lives, and help us to continue to trust your plan, to trust your steps that you have laid out for us. And for those of us who may be feeling weary, maybe feeling tired, I ask that you refresh our souls, renew our strength. And for every person listening to this podcast right now, may you continue to cover us, protect us, and guide us into a place of complete rest as we trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.